Work it, make it, do it, makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Well, happy Black Friday. I guess that's what they call this day. For those of you out there shopping and listening, I'm not going to be shopping even when I'm not doing this show. I never do this Black Friday thing. I don't think you do either, Nathan, right?
You're
not.
No. This is too much chaos for me.
too much craziness. But Absolutely. We are going to have a great show for you. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's a Call Your Shot Friday, so this is big time participation from you. 216-578-0850. And you tweet us at Browns_daily. Call your shot for Sunday's game between the Browns and Jaguars and any other shot you want to call, maybe related to that, related to the Browns. We are going to also do our famous Friday forecast today. That'll be at the bottom of the hour. Nathan and I will go through, answer some questions, do our predictions. You'll get all of that NFL-wide, Browns intensive, the whole works. Desmond Bryant is going to be inside the locker room with Jameer Howerton at about 1:15. Going to also hear from Jordan Cameron inside the locker room around 2:15, and Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network will be with us right around 2:30 or so. He'll be checking in. My man, a belated but happy, I say belated because I said happy Thanksgiving to you yesterday.
Yeah,
we communicated yesterday, but how was your day?
It was a great day, and it's really been a great kind of, you know, I would say 48 hours for me. It started on Wednesday night. The Miz was in town. You know, my buddy, he's from Parma. Big yep. Browns fan, WWE superstar, and he has what he calls Miz Fest on the night before Thanksgiving every year, where he gets a party bus and everybody gets together and you go around and kind of get wild in Cleveland. And we had a great time with that, good time, good friends. And I actually got to spend some time at Miz Fest with our own Gary Barnage, who was there for the early portion of the event. Obviously, he had left early because very responsible professional and had an early Browns practice on Thursday morning. But I got to tell you, I was very impressed with him as a person and just a super nice guy, super great to talk to, and a lot of fun, and really a guy that I got the feeling, you know, you talk about guys who are professionals and who get it. Gary Barnage, he gets it, and I had a great time being able to spend some time with him. And then yesterday, we went over to our good friends, the Bloom's house, for our Thanksgiving feast, and they did something to turkey I've never heard of before, but I sure am glad I've heard of it now. They were injecting the turkey with, like, syringes every, you know, 15 minutes, and it was literally the most moist and delicious turkey I've ever had in my life. I had five helpings, Notorious, five helpings of turkey. I think I could sleep all day, and I don't think I need to eat for a long, long time.
So syringes filled with water.
They would take like the jus, yeah.
The jus.
Oh, yeah, and they get it in there and constantly, and they said, you know, when you do it, the turkey kind of expands for a second as all the juices get in there, and then it shrinks back down, and then you put it in and expand it again. It was literally, it didn't even need gravy. It was unbelievable. Best turkey I've ever had.
Damn. No, that sounds awesome. Well, we had a great Thanksgiving as well, celebrated in New York with some friends, a whole bunch of friends that we traditionally hang out with. And again, yesterday being a day off from CBD, so had the chance to get a little quick travel time in and hang out with some very, very close friends that had us over their house and did the whole traditional turkey thing. I didn't watch the cooking process, whatever they did to it. It was phenomenal. I loved it. I loved it and had way too much of it. And then the variety of it was a side dish fest. I mean, we know side dishes are part and parcel to a great Thanksgiving meal, but these folks went overboard and they got this huge kitchen and things were kind of like stretched out in an L-shaped pattern. And honestly, I got overwhelmed. I didn't know what to take because if you just did side dishes, you couldn't put anything. There was no room for the turkey. There was no room for the main course. So I tried, you know, I wanted to not be a pig. I tried to be, you know, a good guest. But and then when I said that to the host, he said, he gave me a look like, what are you, nuts? You know, just go for
this. Definitely be a pig.
So we piled it up, and there were different. They did something with sweet potatoes that I had not seen done before. And there was, I think, a shot of some level of alcohol in that, as I was told. There was some kind of a caramelized something, whiskey. It was really good, really good. And everything was just phenomenal. And then we just, in typical fashion, you know, the guys, of course, end up vegetating the rest of the day in front of the TV screen,
watching
games.
Sure.
And it was awesome. It just, I looked around, I said, there is nothing better than what we're doing right now.
Oh, you know, and you're right, because you can get the turkey's great, but it is. It's the fixins, the sides as well, so good, and there's so much, and then the dessert and the pumpkin pie. And I'm not a big dessert guy, as you know, but, right. You know, a good pumpkin pie, I've cut myself a little sliver of that, was delicious as well. Thanksgiving is great. It's just a great day because you get to hang out with family and friends. You get to engorge yourself, right. Watch football, drink a little bit, and you know, what's – it's great.
It's the day to do all of the above.
Yeah.
And you're right too. Desserts, again, I will take or leave them generally.
Yeah.
But my mother's pumpkin pie is always a taker. That you always take. And I really wait for the whole year. I won't eat another slice of pumpkin pie after I eat my 10th or so by tonight or tomorrow. But that'll be it. That'll be it. I won't have no more pumpkin pie for the rest of the year until next Thanksgiving. And it's the best stuff in the world. Everybody has their favorites, their varieties. That is traditional. I know it might sound, you're really not, you know, going out there and being out of the box. And there were different kinds of desserts on there, but damn it, it's Thanksgiving and it's turkey and pumpkin pie. That's a Norman Rockwell painting. That's what you gotta do.
It's a little slice of Americana,
right.
As it were, notorious.
That's right.
and a glorious slice. Let me ask you this though, as you were sitting there in the vegetative state as I was, and we ended up staying over at their house to finish out the Pittsburgh Baltimore game last night. I came away from it with a couple of thoughts, and curious to get your take on it. Number one, Mike Tomlin on the sideline was hilarious.
Oh yes.
That was funny, and he totally knew what he was doing.
Oh.
I would expect there to be some type of reprimand or punishment from the league, because he knew what he was doing. He was watching them, and he kind of timed his get-out move. Actually involved him sticking his leg farther into the field of play,
right.
As opposed to just hopping out of the way, which was funny. And John Harbaugh today was wondering if Tomlin was credited with the tackle officially on that play, which I thought was funny. Number two, they need to fix this helmet coming off rule, because if the helmet's coming off as you're going to the ground, you should get your forward progress. I understand stopping the play if the guy's up and running to avoid him getting any shots,
right.
But that's got to be a touchdown for Le'Veon Bell. And by the way, it was a helmet-to-helmet hit, so you got to do something there, help the guy out. And that was a pretty scary, ugly scene, but I think they need to amend that rule, because nothing was gained or lost from the play being blown dead as he was going to the ground. You got to give him his forward progress to the ground. And number three, I think the Baltimore Ravens were very lucky to win that game. I still come away from that thinking that the Steelers were the better team, but the Ravens made the big play early that really kind of set the tone for them in that game.
Yes. Yes to all of the above in terms of agreeing with you. I thought it was going to be Pittsburgh's game to win, and I thought the momentum was theirs. It just was not enough, and whatever, too little, too late. I give the Ravens a lot of credit, though, for what they did to kind of hang on for it and you know, move on now and secure that sixth spot, at least until we see what Tennessee does. But to the Tomlin point, it was the one time when something basically, if it wasn't bordering, it was bordering on, it was full-fledged cheating in a game. So blatant, so obvious, was actually something you could laugh about because of the coolness with which Mike Tomlin handled it. And I know Mike well. I consider him a friend, obviously, until the Browns play the Steelers. But we've known each other a long time. And just his caginess, just the way he did, the smile, the look. And he even had some Baltimore people kind of cracking up, because I heard from some of them today who are staunch Ravens supporters. But they were finding that funny. Why? Well, the Ravens won
the game.
It would not have been so funny for John Harbaugh or anyone else had it not been for the victory. And Harbaugh's line was great, too. He took it in stride. Jacoby Jones, in his own way, was kind of taking it in stride. You know, saying, is he going to move out of the way as I'm coming toward him? And he's wide. And the best part was, when you see the overhead view of it, with Tomlin's back to Jones, and he's looking up at the Jumbotron. He's right. He's watching the return from there. And I guess it's legit that he always watches plays that way, or particularly special teams plays, that he's focused a lot up there, so it was consistent somewhat. And also the return, he wasn't, I don't know, I guess Jones is a really good return guy, but was he anticipating Jones to get that far downfield?
And on
you
that
could argue, because he was already out there.
He
was already kind of out there. But he knew exactly what he was doing when the guy started chugging up the sideline in his way. And I have to say, yes, you hope there's something, just our sensibilities say, let there be some kind of punishment, reprimand, just so stuff like this doesn't get out of hand and get ridiculous. But I cracked up. It was funny.
It was very funny. And Torrey Smith actually photoshopped the picture of Mike Tomlin into like a Soul Train dance line and put that on Twitter, which I thought was a very funny response. Obviously, it worked out, because if the Steelers had won the game, I think that this would be a much different situation. The fact that the Ravens still hung on and won, I think, kind of minimizes it a little bit, which is good. But, yeah, it was funny. It was good. And Joe Flacco, to his credit, said that, you know, he almost stole my idea, because Joe Flacco, as you know, during the Super Bowl, on the final, basically the Niners had the chance on that kick return. That would be really their only chance to win the game, is if they ran that final kick back.
Right.
And he basically said on the sideline, they have it on the, you know, the audio on NFL films, if somebody breaks one, I'm tackling them. What's the word? They're going to give me a 15-yard penalty. Big deal, but we're still going to win. He appreciated where that was coming from, and I thought that was very interesting. Big win for the Baltimore Ravens. And, again, it just goes to show you how strange things have been this season, because Baltimore now beats up on Pittsburgh. You know, Baltimore beat Cincinnati, but the Browns, in the last time they faced Baltimore, beat Baltimore. And it just, you know, it's one of those things where you say, man, obviously there's a lot of parity in this division. The Browns obviously sitting at the bottom of that. But it just goes to show the difference between teams that can get it done and execute at the key moments, and the teams that at least thus far are unable to do. And I think that's what separates right now this Cleveland Browns team from the Ravens, from the Steelers, and the Bengals. And the other thing I will say this, to give your boy Joe Flacco a little bit of credit, they were dynamite on third down. And you remember in this early part of the season, that was a huge issue for the Browns defense. They've been great at it the last 2 weeks, ironically enough. But the Ravens converted 10 of their 17 third downs, and Flacco was actually at his best in this game on third down.
Yeah, I had the same thoughts. I watched that game and shook my head a little bit in frustration over, because everything you do when you're watching this league is always takes you back to, what about us, and how do we compare, and what does it mean? And especially when you see the two rival teams playing, and it reminded you of how close this division truly is, especially when you've got something like the Browns do in the way of a defense that can keep you in games. But the thing that enhanced my frustration over this Browns season now is the fact that that was Ben Roethlisberger on one side. You mentioned Joe Flacco, who has not had a great year, but rose to the occasion in a big game last night. And it was all about the quarterbacks. It really, as it usually is, you started to say, that's what that team has, and yep, that's what that team has. Still not 100% sure what the Bengals have in that department, but they have enough. At least to be where they are.
Sure.
And you keep looking back to the Browns and you say, yeah, and they're starting yet another different quarterback, even though he's a guy who started the year and has been back in this position before. And that rotating door at the quarterback position for the Browns just is maddening, and more so when you see the potential, how when they show that list of teams in the wild card hunt, and it's 5 wins, and you look at the Browns and you say they have 4 wins, you know, and that just I guess that's the part of it that drives you nuts.
Absolutely. And listen, if you want to talk about how important the quarterback position is, yesterday was pretty much the perfect day to see that. You had, in the 3 games, you had 1 game with equal strength quarterbacks, I would say, and that game came down to the wire and was a 2-point conversion away from going to overtime. Then you had Detroit Green Bay, where the Packers have had 4 quarterbacks. I couldn't believe this stat. In the last 22 years, they've had 4 in the last 4 weeks, and you saw Matt Stafford just absolutely annihilate this team. And really, since Aaron Rodgers has gotten hurt, you've seen this team, the Green Bay Packers lose to Philly, lose to the Giants, tie Minnesota at home in a game they absolutely should have won, and lose to the Detroit Lions. 40-10 in that game, Matt Flynn could do nothing. When you don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter. They were daring them to throw the football, and yet they couldn't. In the second game, you had the Dallas Cowboys against the Oakland Raiders. Tony Romo against Matt McGloin. And the Raiders jumped out to an early lead, but the competency and confidence of the quarterback in Tony Romo to lead them down the field and lead them come from and a come-from-behind win allowed them to win that game. Quarterback is king right now in the National Football League, and I know Browns fans are saying, you know, we're going to be looking at a quarterback, drafting a quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things you could do today while you're hanging out, kind of working off the Thanksgiving coma at 3:30, is watch Derek Carr, the quarterback of Fresno State. He will be playing on CBS Sports Network, so you can check him out. But yesterday, to me, just really reinforced the message of the quarterback. And it goes back when the guy from Pittsburgh called us up, Notorious, and you and I both were kind of trying to will the Browns to a victory with our Friday forecast, Call Your Shot, yeah. And he basically said, guys, this is Ben Roethlisberger against Jason Campbell.
And we knew. we knew. But and, we were still squeezing.
We were still trying
to make,
right. But,
make
you know,
something happen. We took out the duct tape.
We did.
We pulled out everything and tried to make it happen, but to no avail.
To no avail, indeed.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. So Desmond Bryant, we go inside the locker room. That's going to be coming up with Jameer Howerton from ClevelandBrowns.com. Before we do get into that, when we come back, you and I are going to share, I'd like to hear your best Thanksgiving memory.
Okay.
I'd like to get into that. I've got one, and I want to hear yours.
Okay.
Best Thanksgiving memory, because we didn't get a chance to really do this yesterday. And would also like to get into, you know, some of the – I've got to share some stories from people who some of their memories, and I'll tell you, they'll blow you away. Because I pose, this is one of my favorite questions this time of year to some folks, and I'll share those with you as well. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, the Call Your Shot Friday edition. So we want to hear from you at 216-578-0850. Want you to call your shot and tweet us at Browns_Daily. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, happy Thanksgiving, ESPN 850 WKNR.